Good morning. Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church. Thank y'all for being here this morning. And just want to begin this morning by welcoming y'all. We're going to read some scripture and we'll take some prayer requests and then we will move into the service. We're glad to have Safe Haven back with us. Y'all give them a hand. They've had a lot going on. Wayne is married now and had COVID, so he's got all his bases covered for 2021, amen? Glad to have them with us. I just want to read you something here to get our hearts kind of prepared before we go into the worship service. King David writes in the Psalm 89, he says, "I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations, I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen, and I have sworn to David my servant. I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations." That's the promise that we have, that God said he would restore all things to the way he originally designed them. And it would be through David that he would build a place that he could dwell forever with humanity. And that's the promise we have this morning in Jesus Christ. I'm glad you're here. Miss Alma, we got to see Miss Alma Friday. We took pictures and was supposed to have them up here, but you know, technology does not always work out. We have got the pictures. We just couldn't get them up there. But Miss Alma is doing better. She's home from the hospital. And you can go see her there at the door. It's still pretty muddy to go around to her window. But at 12 and at 5, she's usually up front in the cafeteria. And she can come to the door if anybody wants to go by and wave at her, speak to her. Just call inside and tell them that you want to see Miss Alma. And they'll bring her to the door there where you can see her. And Mr. Fred was happy to see us. Too, him and Mona's always picked on each other about Pepsis and Coca-Colas, so he had a good time, but I was glad to get to see them. But y'all just remember them and give Miss Rita a call also, and you might be able to get her on her cell phone. She's still recovering from her stroke, so keep her in your prayers. Miss Barbara, glad to have you today. You doing okay? Keep Miss Barbara lifted up in your prayers also. And James Gordon, he was doing a pretty decent last week, but he's had some kind of spell through the night with chills and also be praying for him if they take him to the hospital to get him straightened out. And also Herbert's been having some issues with his heart, so keep Herbert Ray lifted up in prayer. Any more prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Remember Miss Lynette and her asthma, and keep her lifted up in your prayers. And also the Moody family and the Holt family and the Cecil family. We went to 3 funerals this week. It's been a lot going on, but all of them knew the Lord, and we know where they all are. And it's just a big difference when you go to a funeral where the family believes and the deceased were believers. There is just a different atmosphere there. So keep them lifted up, and keep Rhonda and Keith lifted up in your prayers this week. Difficult week for them also. And just keep them lifted up with an unspoken prayer request there also. And Mr. Wayne Sellers, I forgot to put him on the list last week. And Mr. Wayne had 2 blood clots in where that port is. And so that it's a type of immune therapy that follows up with the chemo and the radiation that they're doing. They think because he does that once a month, they're hoping to get that cleared up so they don't have to post pause that treatment, but it caught him off guard, and he went by himself, so it really caught Miss Debbie off guard. She called me first about it last Friday, and but keep him lifted up in your prayers that that medicine does what it needs to do to dissolve those blood clots. Amen. Any more? Corky Harris, is he? Okay, so keep Corky Harris lifted up, and also Mr. Clyde Elkins and Mike. Mike's got some more tests and some results from an MRI. Keep Mike lifted up. And Miss Diana, she's still having dental work. She's starting to get used to the dentist. I don't believe Bobby has to tie her down to drive her up there now. So that's the good news there. But keep her lifted up. She's still got a lot going on. If you're in the parking lot this morning, blow your horn. Amen. Glad to hear y'all out there. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Kind Father, as we come before you today, Lord, I just pray as we are gathered together inside, outside, and eventually online today that as the heavens praise your wonders that we could, Lord, that we could just when we leave here speak of your faithfulness. And Lord, as we are here gathered together in your assembly, that Lord, we would just get a fresh vision of your greatness, your holiness, your promises, your loving kindness, your grace, your mercy, Lord. May, Lord, we just proclaim the glories of Christ. And Lord, as Safe Haven comes now to sing, I pray that the melody, the music, the words would just lift us up into your presence through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that Lord God, we'd just receive a fresh vision of you exalted, sitting on your throne. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let me tell you about Jesus. What a wonderful Savior.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
How he saved my soul and he made me whole. And he took away my burden.
Yes, he took away my burden.
And he took away my sorrow.
And he took away my sorrow. Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul. Well, I went to an altar. I knelt down to pray. I felt the Holy Spirit coming down my way. Hey, then my soul began to tremble and the joy began to roll. Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
What a wonderful Savior.
What a wonderful Savior.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
Let me tell you about Jesus. How he saved my soul and he made me whole.
And he took away my burden.
Yes, he took away my burden.
And he took away my sorrow.
And he took away my sorrow. Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul.
It's a wonderful feeling. Just to ease your mind, sweetest joy you'll find. When the heart is on the tighter and everything is looking brighter. Let me tell you, brother,
that's how Jesus saved my soul.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
What a wonderful Savior.
What a wonderful Savior.
Let me
tell you about Jesus.
How he saved my soul and he made me whole.
And he took away my burden.
Yes, he took away my burden.
And he took away my sorrow.
And he took away my sorrow.
Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul.
Let me tell you,
brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul.
Amen.
You're awesome.
Let's go.
With you, Lord, you've asked.
before. I just came to talk with you, Lord. Maybe tomorrow there'll be trouble and sorrow and a thousand teardrops may fall. No special favor to ask. I just came to talk with you, Lord. How many times, Lord, have trouble brought me to my knees, but I just came to talk with you, Lord. I have no selfish motive in mind, just wanna thank you for all the other times I just came to talk with you, Lord. Maybe tomorrow there'll be trouble and sorrow and a thousand teardrops may fall. Have no special favor to ask. I just came to talk with you, Lord. I just came to talk with you,
If you're in the parking lot and can hear, I'm going to ask Jose, if he will, to take up offering out there, if you don't mind. And if you're in here, when you get ready to leave, y'all ready for offering? You can put it in either one of these white buckets at either side there. But as we get ready, if you're thinking about that song and you get ready to give your offering, just let me ask you this. When was the last time you come before the Lord and didn't want to ask nothing of him? You just wanted to say, Lord, I love you. See, my mama taught me to tithe because that strengthens your faith. When you tithe, it's not that you're having to do something. It's that you're saying, God, I'm going to trust you the rest of the week with what you've already given me at the beginning of the week. And that's what tithing is about, to build our trust and to say that we trust God. Let us pray. Kind Father, we just thank you for today, Lord, and we just pray that this is a time of renewal. Lord, there's just been so much going on over the last year that here we are again, Lord, with sparse seats, fear of disease, of sickness, Lord, just rules and regulations that we don't understand. But Lord, you've told us one thing that we can do, and that's that we can hate evil, love good, and know that you are God. And Lord, we ask today as we give these offerings that it is just a sign of the trust that we have, that no matter what's flying apart around us, that you're still in control, and still with an outstretched hand, you will deliver us from the powers of sin, sickness, suffering, and death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What an honor, Pastor Wesley, it is to for Safe Haven to be back at Hunt Springs this morning. As he said, lots happened. We as a group did really well for a long period of time dodging COVID, but it finally ran us down. And so Jerry and I both are just getting over it. We've been quarantined. We've done all that good stuff. But if you've had it, you know it just kind of zaps your strength. And so it takes you a while to get back over it. But we're so thankful to be in the Lord's house this morning. We have a lot to be thankful for. I've lost several friends over the last couple of weeks from COVID. So every opportunity that I get to stand before anybody and thank God for allowing me to serve him in this way, I'm going to do that.
Yes.
So thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to do what we believe God has called us to do. Is there anybody in here who happens to be hearing Safe Haven for the first time this morning? Anybody? Okay. I don't know what that says about them, but okay. So I'm going to do just a really, really short introduction then, and we're going to get back to singing, okay? On my far right, the guy that owns Safe Haven, he started it. Well, it depends on what you ask him as to when he started it, but he says he started it 5 or 6, 7 years ago. But in any event, he owns that land yacht that we travel around with and equipment that we use, but more importantly, I want to tell you something. This boy loves the Lord.
Yeah.
He loves the Lord. And when he sings, there's no doubt. I want you to put your hands together this morning and welcome from Zebulon, North Carolina, Mr. Tim Daugherty. Jerry hails from the big city in North Carolina, Castalia, North Carolina. Him and 3 more people. His whole family.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's okay. Everybody's got to be from somewhere, don't they? Make welcome this morning, singing our lead, Mr. Jerry Winstead. And all the way from the big city, from Wake Forest, North Carolina, singing the bass this morning, Mr. Mike Spence. I'm Wayne Coates, and I sing whatever's left. And that's not a lot with these guys. But if you're happy for Safe Haven to be here, we're happy to be here. Let's give God a hand clap of praise.
I'm tired of the status quo. We got the power, but where did it go? We're the church triumphant, but why doesn't it show? Time to rise in victory and let the world know. A crippled man came to the church one day. They called for the elders and had them to pray. They cried and they tried everything they knew to say. But the crippled man went home again the very same way. I'm tired of the status quo. We got the power, but where did it go? We're the church triumphant, but why doesn't it show? It's time to rise in victory and let the world know.
He made the lame walk and the blind to see. He came to give us life more abundantly. Then he gave his power to you and to me. Time the church became the church he wants it to be. I'm tired
of the status quo. We got the power, but where did it go? We're the church triumphant, but why doesn't it show? It's time to rise in victory and let the world know.
Oh, where is the spirit? Where is the fire?
Where are the hungry? Seeking more of his power.
Where are the miracles from him? Lord, send them upon us. Revive us again. I'm tired.
I'm tired of the status quo. We got the power, but where did it go? We're the church triumphant, but why doesn't it show? It's time to rise in victory and let the world know.
Oh, I'm tired.
I'm tired of the status quo. We got the power, but where did it go? We're the church triumphant, but why doesn't it show?
Somewhere up ahead, there is clear water, and defeat is one word I just won't use.
Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Many rivers my feet have gone through. Many treasures are waiting over yonder, for there's too much to gain to.
Come way too far from where I come from to ever turn back. Hallelujah. Mm. Thank you,
Lord. All the stumbling and mistakes that I've done, my personal self, my Savior turned me away from that years ago.
Thank you. That's
right. Now, I'm not perfect, but I got a covenant with the Father this morning.
Amen.
And I can go to Him. And I can talk to Him when nobody else will listen.
Yes.
And I'm glad this morning that you folks are sitting in these pews. Because that shows me you got faith.
Come on.
And you believe God. You believe that He'll get you through.
Yes.
There's a lot of churches not having church. Matter of fact, me and my pastor talked the other day. And so many people are live streaming today. I said, you know, Pastor, it's getting to the point where people are getting comfortable at the house watching it on the computer.
That's right.
And the pews ain't going to be filled no more. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is in this house.
Come on.
You get what you get because you come here. It ain't at the house. Now, you can get it. You can worship at the house. Don't get me wrong. But there's power in prayer right here. There's power in the Word. When Pastor preaches the Word today, and when the songs are sung, there's power right here. That's why He says, do not forsake assembly or fellowship together. There's power. You don't know what the person next to you is going through. But if God's gave you something good this week, it spills right over just like a cup.
Yeah.
And they can get what you got this morning. And believe me, folks, I believe in salvation. Do you believe in salvation this morning?
Amen. Yes. Amen.
There's too much religion out there. I believe in salvation this morning.
Yes.
Now, I got to sing this song because the pastor's wife will shoot me if I don't. And we sung this down at the coast a few weeks ago, and they loved it. I guess because we were right down there at the coast, you know. I wasn't wearing flip-flops or anything, but I just, you know. We had to give one of those coastal songs. Can we give Sister Mother one? Can we give her a song this morning?
Okay.
She said it louder than, yes, you can. My soul was sinking in a world of sin. The grace and mercy, they took me in. They took my feet out of the miry clay. Put it on a rock, on that rock to stay in.
Oh, what a relief it was
when God rescued me. He loosed those chains and had me bound. Then He set me free. Now it's
cooling water.
Yes, it is.
Cooling water.
It feels like
cooling water.
No, it is.
Cooling water. Cooling water from Grandma's well.
Nights in so much pain, couldn't see the sunshine, nothing but rain.
But God said,
weeping will endure for the night, for in the morning
it will be all right. Oh, what a relief it was
when God rescued me. He loosed those chains,
had me by. Cooling water.
Cooling water.
Cooling water.
Cooling water.
cooling water from Grandma's well. Cooling water from Grandma's well. Cooling water from Grandma's well.
From Grandma's well.
I've seen friends and loved ones make their final journey as angels came to carry them to that land so bright and fair. Oh, what rapture on their faces of their first glimpse of glory. Their eyes beholding all the splendor waiting there.
Seems these days I'm thinking more of heaven. Friends and loved ones waiting on that bright and golden shore. There's a longing in my soul, and it's drawing me toward homeland. And it seems these days I'm thinking about heaven more.
Somehow I feel that day is soon approaching when Jesus will return to call his waiting bride away. We'll join the holy angels and saints who've gone before us, and I can hardly wait to meet him.
Seems these days I'm thinking more of heaven. Our friends and loved ones waiting on that bright and golden shore. There's a longing in my soul, and it's drawing me toward homeland. And it seems these days I'm thinking about heaven more and more. Seems these days I'm thinking more of heaven. Friends and loved ones waiting on that bright and golden shore. There's a longing in my soul, and it's drawing me toward homeland. And it seems these days I'm thinking about heaven more and more. For there's a longing in my soul, and it's drawing me toward homeland. And it seems these days I'm thinking about heaven more and more.
One.
That's one thing we're guaranteed of today is he loves us. That's a guarantee. When I was my worst, he loved me. And it's good to know today that I can look to him. Lean on him. It's great to be a child of God this morning. It's because he lives this morning that I can stand before you and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
It's because he lives this morning that I know I have a place in heaven.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died. Empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
You believe that? Just want to say amen.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he
up. I want y'all to stand up real quick. If you can stand up, I want you to help us. He's going to go into the second verse again, and I want y'all to sing it like you know he lives this morning.
And then one day I'll cross
standing as still gives way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory, and I know He reigns.
Sing it with me.
Because He lives,
I can face tomorrow.
Y'all give him another hand. We really appreciate it when Tim, Wayne, Mike, and Jerry can come and be with us. And we're glad to have y'all here anytime. So y'all welcome back anytime. Amen. That's good. I'm ready. This morning, if you will, we're going to jump in here. And I don't know how much of this, because there's some background I want to give as I'm preaching this, and so we might not get all the way through these verses, but we're looking in John chapter 2, verses 13 through verses 25. And what we don't get through, I'll finish at the Cowboy Church Tuesday night. I'm going to preach it again up there. And I get to preach a lot longer up there because we're in a barn and they close the gate and lock y'all in. Amen? but I know that today I'll try to be wiser. Watch your time and honor your time. But as we look at this, we see that Jesus' ministry has begun. It has begun in Cana. If you remember, he was in Cana, and he was at a wedding, and the problem there was the joy was gone. The joy out of life, the joy out of family, the joy out of their relationships. I told you last Sunday that in the Bible, when you talk about wine, it's talking about it makes the heart glad, right? I'm not promoting drinking, I'm just saying. When he's talking about the grapes and how plentiful everything will be when we end up in heaven is what he's talking about there in the day of the Lord. Now, the joy has run out there in social life, but here we see that also the joy has run out in the church. The joy has run out in the temple is what's going on here. And you know, people are just coming, they're coming and going and doing what they think. Why? So God will be pleased with me. I got to do at least something so I look like I'm still a good Christian. You know, I'll go buy a T-shirt, right? But God's talking about something of the heart here, and we pick up on that in the following chapters, 3 and 4, when Jesus there is talking to the woman at the well or talking to Nicodemus, says that Jesus knows what's in their heart. He knows why they're doing the things they're doing. And guess what? God knows what you're doing and why you're doing it now. And that's something we need to understand. Now, if you look with me in verse 13, it says, the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and dove and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. Let us pray. Kind fathers, we come before you this morning and look at this text, Lord. We just want to consider the temple project. The project that you started. The project that we messed up. The project that Jesus come to restore. And Lord, the project we'll get to enjoy. And Lord, we come before you now for the next few minutes and ask that we not only see your glory and your will, but also your design in all things that we get to enjoy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you think about the temple project and you think about Jesus cleansing the temple, we need to realize that this temple project that Jesus started, he cleanses it through Jesus' authority. You need to move that for me. I've lost something here, buddy. I might be able to get it back, but we don't have enough internet sometimes. So, Bobby, you just keep up, all right? I might not be able to run these slides down here. But what we want to talk about this morning is how God completes his temple project through Jesus' cleansing. And as we think about this and as we look at this morning, we want to think about how the temple is displayed throughout the throughout all of the Bible. And I'll try to get this back on, and then if it don't work, I won't mess with it no more. Amen. I don't want to hold y'all up this morning. All right. As we see this, we see that God sends Jesus to complete his temple project, and God sends Jesus so that we can understand more about this temple project. Now, the temple, we need to understand, runs all the way through the Bible. And I wish I had more time, because really I need to catch y'all up on about 39 chapters of the Bible we call the Old Testament. Now, if I could get y'all through them 39, I could speed up through the next 26. And then when we got the 27th book of the New Testament, man, y'all would be excited. Amen. Y'all be waiting to cross that river. You'd be waiting to sing those glories. You'd be waiting to say, look, he lives. Amen. And so I want you to know, but let me tell you what happened here. I'll try to stay away from my notes so I can move quick. In the Garden of Eden. And the reason I had to look all this up is because it's always worried me how David says in Psalm 69, verse 9, when Jesus is whipping and pouring out the wrath of God on what's going on in the temple, the disciples remember what David has said in Psalm 69, verse 9. David says, my zeal for your house consumes me. That word means eats me up. It's the idea of a fire just burning up a pile of leaves till there's nothing left, consumed. Jesus was so consumed by what was going on there that if you read the rest of that verse, it says that the insults that were on God was on him. And see, David said that, and I said, well, David didn't get to build the temple. So we're talking about the temple. How is this working out that David, and in Psalm 27, one of my favorite psalms, David says, one thing I have asked of the Lord, I shall seek, that I'll dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold his beauty. And I said, well, he's always talking about the temple. But he got to the end of his life. He'd been telling the people of God about it. He'd been collecting up materials, but he didn't get to build it, if you remember. And that's all he wanted to do before he passed away was build the temple. The Lord said, you can't. I've used you for other things. You got blood on your hands, but guess what? You got a son that'll build the temple. Then he makes him his promise. There'll be a seed, a descendant from you, that'll always sit on the throne. See, if you're reading through the Old Testament, just like a book, you open it up and you're reading God's story, you get to Solomon, you said the promised one from Genesis. This is it. He's building the temple. Everything's back. All the glory is in the temple. The people of God are worshiping God. Everything is going good. And then what happens? Solomon starts getting a little older, and he lets idolatry and adultery both come into the kingdom, and little by little, the kingdom and the people start worshiping other gods. And you say, we need another descendant. Now, if you follow that all the way through the Bible, when you come to Matthew, you find out that descendant is Jesus Christ. When you get to John, it says that he is God in the flesh, who tabernacled or dwelt or set up his tent among us. Now, let's back up and what happened. Think about this, and I'm going to try to give you something so you can remember it. This is important. This is why I believe our kids and everybody else don't come to church, why they're not engaged in a Christian or a biblical or a believer's worldview. They don't understand what God is doing. God first of all, hired us. Then God fired us, and he promises that he one day he'll retire us. All right, now you got that? Now let me explain to you how this works. Because you got to have that to understand this. In the Garden of Eden, guess what? God created everything. There's nothing that was created that was not created by God. Now, when he created the garden, it symbolized a temple. The temple motif or the temple theme runs all through the Old Testament. Guess what? The temple simply is God's meeting place for his people. If you remember, Adam and Eve, he placed them in the garden and he would come meet with them. See, if you don't understand that the garden was a meeting place between God and man, the way God intended man and when he created him to remain sinless, trusting in God. If you don't get that, you'll never understand the song in the garden. See, that song in the garden is talking about the day when we cross that river. And there's nothing between us, no sickness, no sadness, no sorrow, no death separating us from God. It's just an intimate relationship talking. And see, chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 15, God puts Adam and Eve in the garden and gives them a job. They are to serve and guard it. You can't say till and keep it. That also means to serve and obey. They're in service to God. You know, I've always heard that the best job you could ever have is doing something you love and get paid for it. I'll never forget one Sunday morning after I got saved, my whole life had changed, and I was in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, and I was rolling south and letting her go. And the sun was coming up, just coming up, and you could see the silhouette of my truck. And my whole life, all I ever wanted to do was drive a truck. And I've had a bunch of jobs before I got that job. But when I looked over and I saw that picture of that stretched truck and the heat coming out of the stacks, I started crying. I said, I can't believe God let a poor sinner like me do something I enjoy this much and I'm getting paid for it. But you never believe that then I didn't think that I would ever be a preacher. And see, I get to do something now that's greater than that. I get to tell people about the one that saved me and changed me. And see, that was the problem. Adam and Eve had two things in that garden. They had the tree of life, and they had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could choose life, which is God, and obey him and do whatever he said. Because he had the best for them in that garden. But instead, they got tricked by the Satan to believe that they could be like God. They could know good from evil, and they could be wise like God, and guess what? They could be self-sufficient without God. Now, our culture and every culture since then has taught that we can be self-sufficient and we do not need God. That does not work. It always fail and through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Here's part of what's going on here. The temple is being run because why? They're self-sufficient. We can do it ourselves. Now, in the garden, when they sinned against God, you know the story, they got expelled. They got fired. God had hired them, gave them a job to do. They didn't do it. They got fired. They got kicked out. And the angel, or the cherubim, was put at the gate of the garden not to let them back in. The angels are guarding the worship of God right now. And if you go on forward, you see that there wasn't another really earthly building or earthly structure for them to be in, but you see that they built altars to God. Noah and his sons built an altar to God. You see the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they built altars to God. Then Moses goes into the wilderness with the children of Israel, and God tells them to build a tabernacle. Now, this is after he rescues his people. Delivers them from the bondage of sin. He makes them into a people. He says, build a tabernacle. Here's the important thing. When he told them to build the tabernacle, he gave them a job to do, but he gave them a set of plans. They was to build it a certain way because it represented who God was and how holy he was. And in that tabernacle was an outer court that people could come into, but then there was a holy of holies, and then there was a holy place, then a holy of holies. The closer you got to the presence of God for the people, the more cleansing it required for you to get into the presence of God. Now, fast forward, we get a temple replaces the tabernacle. Solomon builds the temple. He dedicates it to God, to the worship of God, to the purity and the holiness of God. God comes down. His glory fills the temple. Solomon prays, and then he asks God this. When the people do sin, forgive them. See, when we think things is going right and we're doing what God wants to, we got to remember we got a tendency to go back being self-sufficient. And if you follow the temple on through till you get to Ezekiel, Ezekiel says that the presence of God, that's the glory of God, left the city of God and the temple of God because the people had become wicked. God said, I'd had enough. 400 years pass. And they're doing their temple rituals in 538 B.C. because God had exiled them out by the Babylonians. They was captive. Cyrus the Great defeated the Babylonians, and he sent Nehemiah and Ezra and them back. They rebuilt the temple. The temple's not that great, okay? It's nice, but, you know, in the Old Testament it says, does anybody remember the first temple in all this glory? In other words, it's like, you know, the church really used to be something, but just ain't what she used to be. So when Herod the king come along, he tore that temple down and says, I'm Herod the Great. I'll build one like Solomon. Well, it never measured up to what Solomon had done. So when Jesus comes in here and when they asked him in a minute, this is why I wanted you to understand this. Hey, it took 47 years to build this. We got it going on, God. Who gives you the authority to say you'll tear it down in 3 days and rebuild it? Now, here's what we need to understand. Anytime we're thinking about the church, we need to go up to heaven and look down and see through God's eyes instead of our eyes. Because a lot of times we try to tell God how we want him to do things down here. And guess what? God's up there telling us how he wants us to do things down here. Did you know in the tabernacle, I used to couldn't figure out the ark. I knew that Aaron's staff was in there and the Ten Commandments was in there and they put some manna in there when God fed the people. But I'm like, they put it there and they stationed the angels, you know, they made out of gold and they on each side. What is this for? And later in the Bible it says it is the footstool of God. Guess what? God is in heaven, transcendent. When we think we've got it all going on, we're but a footstool to God. It's because he controls the earth. And guess what? It says about Jesus that one day he will make all his enemies, evil and death, a footstool unto him. We'll have a new heaven and earth. Now, I gave y'all enough background, and I'm out of time, so we got to go. But you want me to pray? I'm going to jump in here just for a few minutes, and then we'll go. Amen. What I want you to see is, for in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwelt in bodily form. When we think about a temple here, we got to understand that Jesus is the temple of God. He come to show us what the temple of God was all about. It was about God dwelling with his people. God says in Ezekiel, they will be my people, I'll be their God. No one will need to teach them anything because I will write my laws upon their heart. God is talking about spending eternity with us. Now, here's what happens. It is the Passover. That is a celebration of God delivering the Israelites from death. The plagues, as you remember, was coming. And God says, if you put blood over the doorpost of your house, the death angel will pass over you. And it's about redemption. It's about God's grace. Did they deserve to be saved and the Egyptians not deserve it? No. They was all sinners. God was showing them by grace, if you trust me and go and put blood over the door, I will pass over you. It's all about grace. So they celebrate this. God tells them after he gets them out in the wilderness to celebrate this every year and teach this to your children so your children will understand my grace. And so all the males over 17 years old were supposed to go up when they do this Passover. And by this time, they had a lot of rules by the religious leaders about if you was over 19 years old, you would pay a tax, your temple tax. But really, that goes always back to Leviticus. You were supposed to bring that into the temple, but it wasn't really a tax. It was your offering. But they was charging it like a tax. Now, when Jesus went up there to the Jews, with the Jews, to Jerusalem, he went to the temple of God, That's the house of God, the dwelling of God. And he went to the city of God. Now, in the end times, we understand that there's going to be a new Jerusalem, the city of God. And in chapter 21 of Revelations, John says, behold, I saw the city of God, and it come down. And he describes the city as being of two cubes, one cube square and tall, and another cube square and tall, just like the Holy of Holies in the holy place. In other words, the whole city of Jerusalem will be the city of God. That'll be all the world. That'll be where we spend eternity. But he says something else in there. Behold, I saw the city. I didn't see the temple. Brother Wayne, because the Lamb and the God was the temple and dwelt among us. See, so when Jesus is going up to the temple, he's here to do God's will. He's obeying God as a Jewish male. He's going to the house of God to worship God because God says, you come there and I'll meet you. And when he gets there, he looks around and what he sees is it is a place of business. Now, when he enters, he's entered into the court of the Gentiles. Think about what's going on. The Jews have people interceding for them that goes into the holy place, and the priest once a year goes into the holy of the holy places for the atonement of sin. The Gentiles that have come to faith in the God of the Jewish people, the God of the Hebrews, they come into the court. They come into the outer area or the outer porch, and they pray, they make their petitions to God, they give, they're doing these things. Now think about what's going on when Jesus walks in. Jesus come because he was going to be a blessing to every family on earth. Jesus come so that everyone, whoever believes in him, will not perish but have eternal life. As he walks in, they got oxen, which are given by the priests for to sanctify them, to be able to do the offerings and the things in there. And also they had sheep, and then they had doves. Now doves, you know, because God provided even for those who didn't have. Doves was for poor people. Now this really doesn't have anything with Jesus dividing up between wealth and between poor people when he tells the dove changers, the dove keepers, to get out of his father's house because they made it a house, a marketplace, a house of business. It doesn't really have nothing to do with that. He's talking to all of them. But what you need to understand here is when it says that Jesus made a whip out of cords. Now, some people will say, yeah, what he done, see? Wayne, you know, God loves us. Y'all done sung about that this morning. God really loves us. So what he did, he went over there and got some of these soft reeds that the animals had been walking on, and he weaved them together so that he could run them out. But he didn't want to hurt nobody. When it says, my zeal for your house has consumed me, Jesus was mad. He was mad because they was treating God like he wasn't holy. He was treating God like they wanted to. And you say, well, I didn't think Jesus could get mad. You're not supposed to get mad. It is a righteous indignation. It is a righteous anger. It is a justified anger. You see the same thing happen at Lazarus' tomb with Jesus. He wept, and he was feeling grief when he saw them grieving. He was grieving with him. But two times later, it says he's moved deeply. And we try to use that word deeply in spirit to make it sound like, you know, he was grieved. It had already said, John had already said he's grieved. When he says deeply moved within, Jesus was angry. That word there really means he was angry at what? At death. The world wasn't operating the way God designed it because sin and death had entered the world. And what did he do? He gave commands right there. You know, you think about it, he's crying and he says, okay, let's go to the grave. When he gets to the grave, what does he say? Move that stone. Lazarus, get out here, and y'all get these death clothes off him. Let him go. I'm the God of life. And so here, when Jesus enters the temple, and they're supposed to be giving sacrifices so that they are clean enough to come into the presence of God, just to worship God and get to know him better. And he sees that they're going to spend their whole hour and 10 minutes on business and not get to the worship of God. And the Gentiles that coming in looking around, they say, well, I don't know if I want to serve this God anyway. All he's worried about is money. All I'm doing is making the temple money. Jesus run them all out. And it says that when he poured out the wrath of God with a whip and run them out, his disciples remembered it is written, zeal for God's house will consume me, and the insults that fall upon him will fall upon me. When we think about what's going on here, it is the zeal for God's house, his dwelling among his people, is why Jesus was sent to earth. Because we had broke our relationship with God through sin. Every one of us, when we born, we're cute little babies. Well, most of us was cute. But somewhere along the way, it don't take us long. We start back talking to our mamas. We start whining. We start crying. We start complaining. And you say, well, they cute babies. They sinners. We sin. We inherited that. We got this thing of being self-sufficient, just like they was trying to be in the temple. I can do it myself. And you say, well, preacher, we've not been selling any oxen, and everybody have a fit if we brought a bunch of birds in here, so we don't have nothing to worry about. Yeah, you do. If you come to church and you're worried about what you don't like here, if you come to church, you're worried about who you're mad at, if you come to church and all you can think about is that business deal you got to close Monday morning, if you come to church and you think, I'm a good person, I deserve better than this, you making God's house a place of business. The middle letter in sin is I. Anytime we put ourselves first, we're doing exactly what these money changers, exactly what these religious leaders were doing with the sacrifices. We're putting ourselves above God. You know, if you're one of these people that always feel like you're playing second fiddle to the band, it just always seems like everybody's leaving you one step from where you need to be. It might be the reason you feel like that is because you've never let God play first fiddle. See, if we always want to be first, we'll never be first. But if we put God first and remember that our relationship with him is so that we can walk with him, if God's first, you'll be first. And when Jesus here says, you're making my Father's house a place of business, the Jews come up in verse 18 and the Jews say to him, what sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things? In other words, how do you justify yourself? They should have asked this question. Why was this necessary? Why'd you run all this out? Because Jesus come to complete the temple project. Jesus says to them, you want to see a sign? Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. And they said, how are you going to raise this again? It took Herod 47 years to build this temple. You going to tear it down and build it back? And then John tells us that Jesus was talking about his body. See, in Colossians 2:9 says, it was God's pleasure, for in him all the fullness of deity dwell in bodily form. You want to know what a tabernacle looks like with God's presence? His name is Jesus. He come to earth fully God, fully man incarnated, took on flesh to live the life that we should have lived, die the death we deserve, be raised again to the life that we're promised. He says, I'll raise it up again. What is the temple for? To bring the people into the presence of God. To give sacrifices so that you can be cleansed enough to stay with God just for a few minutes. And then you got to give them over and over. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus gave one sacrifice, the perfect lamb, and he gave it once for all. 1 Peter 3:18 says that Jesus died for sin once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. The temple that Jesus is talking about is his body. He will die, he will be buried, but he will defeat sin and death and be raised 3 days later so that we can have this promise from God that what? We can dwell for God, with God for all eternity. You know, in our human bodies, I know it's a lot been going on with sickness, and I know a lot of people that's sick and diseases, and I'm not making light of that, but anything we go through in life, what is the worst thing that can happen to us? What do we fear the most? Death. You know, I used to get upset when things weren't going my way, and I'd be like, this is just about to kill me. Well, that situation wasn't about to kill me, right? Now, I might have been worrying myself to death, but the situation was going to pass. But if you think about Jesus dying for our sins and was raised from the grave, he has defeated death. Our worst fear has been defeated so that we can dwell in the temple of God for the rest of our life. And when you accept Jesus and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've tried to do things my own way. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. Give me a new life with you and take control of that life. Guess what? We are God's people then, and we not only begin living with God now, we live with him throughout eternity. And this is what this story is about. It says in verse 22 that when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. You know, sometimes we just have to believe God and start following him and then see the sign that we need. He explained this, and the disciples trusted Jesus. And if you remember, they followed him all the way to the cross. When he was killed, now, they did scatter, and they did go hide. But when Christ was resurrected, what happened? He showed up and said, look, I'm the temple of God. He come in with them, and what happened? They received the Holy Spirit and the power not to be afraid no more. So if you're depressed, worried, beat down, I'm not making light of whatever's going on in your life. But God wants to dwell with you and walk with you through that problem. When you trust him to walk with you through that problem, you will spend eternity in the new temple that Jesus promises us in heaven. Let us pray. Kind fathers, we come before you today, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you for this blessing that we have in this lesson. That, Lord, as we gather on Sunday mornings to worship you, it's not something that we thought up. It's not something we designed. Lord, it's something you planned from eternity past. That, Lord, you created us to be in relationship with you. And no matter how bad we are broken, you're in the business of making us beautiful again. Lord, you sent your son that what we've broke could be repaired. That our relationship, our meeting place with you is not in a building. It's with Jesus. That, Lord, we have one mediator between God and man, and that's the person, Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we just ask today that each of us would just consider right now, how is my relationship with God? Is my home open so that God can take first place at my home? Is my job, have I opened it up so that God gets first place? My relationships with friends, is other people's opinion of me more important than God's opinion of me? Lord, let us remember that when we gather to worship, we gather to praise you and assign worth to your name. But Lord, if we've got sin in our life, we can't get close to you for that intimate conversation. But your word promises if we confess our sin, Jesus is faithful and righteous to cleanse us from our sin and make us new. Lord, I pray when we leave here today that everyone who sees us would recognize that we've met with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You really believe this morning?
When I see the sun rise in the morning, when I feel the wind blow across my face, when I hear the sound of children playing, I know it's all part of God's amazing grace. And I believe there's a place called heaven. I was there the day my mama went to heaven. I held her hand as she closed her eyes to sleep.
That he gave his life for.